Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello, and welcome to the show tonight. Tonight the topic is sun gazing, and our guest is Holly Fox. We're going to bring her on in just a minute. And before we do that, I want to take a moment and contemplate the nature of this human experience we're having. Well, I can only speak for myself. You might be a dog listening to this show and going, "Rrr." When we talk about a human experience, you and I are both personifications of the one mind, of one consciousness. We all have source creation at the core of us. Some people call it a light body. Some people call, the Father and I are one. That's a kind of a biblical slant to it. But yet here we are in this this beautiful holodeck, this surface of the beautiful planet Earth, and we have these bodies, and you have a body, and you're listening to the show, and I have a body, and I'm listening to the show too. But when we talk about personal power, which is the core focus of New Human Living Radio, how do we wrap our noggin around source consciousness or the idea of the Father and I are one, or I am God incarnate or personified, if you will? I mean, because if you think about what we're really talking about here, it can't be done justice with language, with any language. And when we're sitting here talking and listening, typically we're in our minds, we're listening to sentences, and these sentences come in as a stream of symbols, and we take those symbols and compare it to what we have as far as meaning to those symbols. But when we talk about source consciousness, when we talk about the truth of who we are, language can't do it. I like what Rumi said about it. He said, "The pen breaks and the paper slips away, where lover, loving, and love become one." And so tonight we're going to talk about this idea of sun gazing. And it might seem at first blush that how does sun gazing relate to me as a human being walking around on this, did I mention beautiful planet Earth? Well, I like the idea of light, just light. If you were to take a bright light and walk up close to it, so all you saw was light. In the beginning was light. And when we talk about the infinite potential, which is a feminine attribute, the infinite potential of our human condition, the idea that light has in it all possibilities. A metaphor for that would be a movie projector. Some of you might be old enough to remember when there were actually big reels that were the movie you would watch in the theater, and they'd turn on the projector, and guess what? Light, pure white light would come out of the projector and fill the screen. But light in and of itself has no story, has no condition, has no duality. So what the hell? I mean, Divine Mother, Divine Father are sitting there going, huh, you know, we got this silly putty stuff called light. What the hell? What can we do with this? And it's the idea, the inspiration that comes out of that infinite potential that all creation starts from. So when we think about the light from the projector, the light doesn't care what film we put in the projector, what movie, what story, what archetype, what genre. It has no never mind. It's very indifferent. And we're the same way in the sense that you're a human, I'm a human, and okay, dog on the floor, I acknowledge you, you're listening too. We are a personification of this light. So if we were to compare notes and say we handed out a page and we all wrote down a paragraph about our own experience of life. Is life easy? Is it hard? Is it fun? Is it, you know, if we were to just journal a quick page about our own personal experience of what this human thingy is that we're living out on this planet, and then we would shuffle them and pass the papers out to each other and read them and pass them around again and again and again, you would read other people's descriptions, and I suggest a lot of those descriptions wouldn't match your own experience of it. Just like if I put in a romantic movie and then I took it out and put in a comedy and then I put in an action adventure, the genre of what's actually hitting the screen would change. And so what my point is here is we're human beings coming out of this thousands of years of history of shadow consciousness. We've gone so flippant far into the darkness, our souls consciously chose to go to the very edge of darkness. And now we're all coming out. We're all coming out of the darkness. The collective vibration of the human experience is rising now. And consciousness is logarithmic. When you raise your consciousness a gnat's ass, that's a African gnat's ass, or maybe a Siberian's gnat's ass, I haven't compared the two. If you move your consciousness just a little bit, you have raised your own personal power. And since it's logarithmic, and we come from light, the story of what a human individual like you or me can play out in a single lifetime is untethered. There's no boundary to that. So when we're talking about sun gazing or light or our light body becoming enlightened, we're talking about transcending the story of the past, transcending the genre, that paragraph we wrote down, and affording ourselves, permitting ourselves, granting ourselves permission to show up in a much more authentic way when it comes to the potential of what that storyline could be. So this is going to be an interesting episode tonight, because we're going to be talking about light and how it relates to our human experience. Sun gazing was studied by NASA, and it's been proven that there are people who have practiced the art of sun gazing that no longer require food to eat. They don't have bowel movements anymore. They live completely on light. And this has been proven. So the scope of what we're talking about here is very much spot on target when we talk about our personal power. So here we are. We're collectively listening to this story. And keep yourself in mind as we go through this topic. Our guest tonight, Holly Fox, is she's a sun gazer. She's written a book, an ebook, Miracle Mindfulness, A Guide to A Course in Miracles, a workbook for students. And she walks the talk. She's been practicing this for a while. I'd like you to join me in welcoming Holly to the show. Welcome to the show, Holly.
Thank you so much, Les, for having me, and what a great introduction. I kept wanting to interject and say, and this, and this, and this. couldn't be more perfect.
Well, now we're at that point where it's not interjecting, it's you participating on the show.
Yeah. Oh, shoot, I have to do that now. I was getting really comfortable over here just listening to you.
Everything's a choice. Nothing's required.
Thanks for so much for having me. And when you asked me to be a guest on the show, I was trying to think of all of the things that I have gathered in my, as of tomorrow, 39 years here on this planet, and what is the most impactful or what people would be the most possibly receptive to. And of all the things, sun-gazing came to the top of my mind because in my personal experience, it is the quickest way and the best way to come to this point of opening up your consciousness to things that you cannot see. And the awareness that comes with it and the benefits that come with it are just monumental. And I just feel like that if everybody knew how to do it and actually participated in it, life as we know would change. However, because it's called sun gazing, obviously it comes with a lot of people that obviously are going to poo-poo it from the get-go because, hello, who's supposed to stare at the sun? Nobody. That's such a dumb idea. You're going to blind yourself. But I wanted to share with everybody that there is a safe way to do it, and it will really start to change consciousness as we know it. And as you mentioned before, HRM, which is the man that has been studied by NASA, the man that's been studied by many universities, you know, he doesn't eat anymore. It will, if you do it long enough, you do get to the point of, I got to the point of needing less than 4 hours of sleep a night. I didn't go as far as he did. And with the, there's certain ways to do it. But I did get the benefits to where it was perfect for me, wherever I am in my spiritual journey. And I feel like that would be the same for everybody else. I mean, you're not going to go as far as, you know, only as you're comfortable to need to go. So, that's what I thought was the most interesting thing to talk about.
Well, before we get into it too much, let's kind of lay the groundwork. So if people are not familiar with it, what's a general description? I mean, if you're coming in fresh, what would you describe sun gazing as? What is it? How do you do it? Maybe some history to it.
Yes. So sun gazing has actually been practiced for, I don't know, probably hundreds of years. I don't know about thousands, but there's a lot of sun gazing that goes back to the Mayans, in particular, the Hawaiians. Anyways, it's been practiced by ancient civilizations for quite some time, and what it basically is what you're doing is you're literally staring at the sun, which sounds crazy, but you're doing this during, there are safe times to actually look at the sun. There's also very unsafe times to look at the sun, so you want to be careful when you're staring at the sun. The safe times to stare at the sun are an hour from sunrise or sunset. So basically, and just to be safe, I usually do it only 45 minutes. I even shave off that 15 minutes. It should be a comfortable feeling. It shouldn't be burning your eyes. If it is, then you should, you know, wait a little bit longer or, you know, do it another day or whatever. But basically what you're doing is you're starting out very slowly. You're starting out at a 10-second interval every single day. So you're adding 10 seconds every day to your sun gazing. And you are to... And you don't do it twice a day. You do it just once a day. And you choose morning or evening, whatever fits your schedule. And the best way to do it is if you take off your shoes and you're actually standing on like ground, and I don't mean like on the concrete, I mean like dirt. That's the best way to do it. But you can still do it like I used to do it on my porch. I would definitely notice a difference, but I didn't get the same benefits as doing it as if I were to go and stand on a hilltop somewhere on my bare feet. So you add 10 seconds a day to your sunbathing ritual. Obviously, if you're wearing contacts or glasses, you're going to want to take those off. You cannot do it through a car windshield. You cannot do it through a glass window. You have to be literally observing the sun, and there's nothing in between you. You, for about, I would say when I reached about a 5 minute, that I could stand for about 5 minutes, I started to notice some huge results. The sun gazing itself is what it does is it's supposed to stimulate or decalcify, your pineal gland, which is often referred to with the pituitary gland as your third eye. Which is your sixth chakra, and all of a sudden, this also stimulates other areas of the frontal lobe of your brain. The biggest thing that I noticed right away was my memory improved like gangbusters. Like I could remember stuff that if I had a conversation with somebody that I hadn't seen in 3 years, because I used to work with a lot of clients. If I hadn't seen a client in 3 years, they would come to me 3 years later and I would say, oh, this is what we talked about the last time I saw you. And I would be like amazed. And they were like, how did you remember that? And I was like, I don't really know. I don't really know how I remember that. That was the biggest clue to me that I should keep going and I should keep continuing the sun gaze. And obviously, some days you can't sun gaze because either there's fog or whatever. You skip days. That's no big deal. But just keep moving in that direction. I never got up to HRM, and his website is solarhealing.com. He was the man that has been documented by NASA and et cetera, who has had the largest amount of fame from sun gazing, and he's the one that doesn't eat or whatever after. But that's after 9 months of continuous sun gazing for and you reach up to the point of 45 minutes. I've never reached that point for whatever reason. The longest I think I've sun gazed was for 33 minutes at a time. And at that point, life starts to change in very strange ways. And I would have to say, as Les had mentioned in the beginning, is you have to experience for yourself. It's nothing that, I could tell you about it. I can write about it, but until you experience, I cannot explain the connection with universal consciousness unless you experience it yourself. I mean, it's just something that there's just no words for it, but I can tell you that it does happen, that you will all of a sudden, gradually, you're going to become privy to information and just a different way of looking at things that you have never been before. And then everything all of a sudden just really starts to make sense. And then you just start to have this, it's almost like having a relationship with spirituality or consciousness that you just can't get from, anywhere else, because you're having a direct communication with this spiritual consciousness. And it is, you can even, talk about it as channeling. You can say that you feel sometimes that you are downloaded information on. It's a game changer. It just changes everything. And, HRM, which took this to the most extreme level, because he was sun gazing for 3 years before he got the whole not having to eat thing. But if you get to that level, I mean, think about the ramifications of not needing to eat food anymore. I mean, if we think about that on a worldwide level, we have many, we have many countries that are starving, that don't have the food that they need. What if all of our nutrients could literally be gotten from the sun? I mean, that's also a game changer. People tend to poo-poo the whole sun gazing thing because it does. It sounds effing wacky. I mean, it sounds like the craziest thing I've ever heard of. But it's real, and it can happen, and it's possible to happen. And if people were to just take a moment, if they wanted to, you know, to dedicate, you know, a short period of their time to investing into doing that, this could change everything. You know, this could change the whole entire world.
I like the idea that of purity. You know, in the beginning, I was talking about light being the root of consciousness. The nature, I always like the idea that nature has left signs, information. In flat out physical, in our physical space, to remind us of who we are and the journey that our soul is here to take. And when I think about purity, there's the blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall know God, or creation, or source, or truth, whatever word you want to plug in there. I think they all fit nicely. Blessed are the pure. I think of the sun. I often, when I look at the sun, it's purity. And the one other example of purity that I see in nature is snowfall. Here in Colorado, when the snow falls, the ground is pure white. And it's from that point of purity that I recognize the individuality, if you will, of who I am, and the difference, the discernment between me and anybody else on the planet as it relates to that purity. And so when we're talking about the sun, it's such a source of all of our experience, where we all see it. It's a collective experience like no other. Perhaps the moon is a close second. And it's a unified experience of purity within every one of our lives if we're willing to take notice.
Well, the sun represents life. There would be no life. Like, in as far as like a human being in content form, if there's no sun, there's no life. So if we can't somehow put two and two together to figure out that's something that could actually sustain us in more ways than we just eat our food, because the sun comes from food and we just wake up because the sun is there. I mean, there's many other ways to utilize the most powerful energy in the world.
But a lot of the experiences you're talking about here are personal. I mean, you're talking about transformation of your own consciousness, of your own sense of self, of your own experience of self. So when we talk about light, I mean, from when you've started to now, and perhaps looking forward, how do you see it, the potential of this in your own story?
Well, I think that there have been many different potentials that have moved my story forward. This is just a small sliver of it, but this has been the most, I would say, dramatic in such a short period of time. That's why I feel like that it is really beneficial to share, and also because mainly it's not associated with religion. It's not associated with really spirituality. It's something that hopefully people would take on as something that they don't feel like they have to take something on, you know?
Like, sure.
Who doesn't believe that the sun is out there existing? Well, hello, we see the sun every day. You know, it's not something that comes with a lot of baggage. Let's just put it that way.
Sure.
So I would say that for that reason alone, I just think that it's probably the most, from my personal experience, the most kind of universal thing that can be talked about without too much resistance, because it doesn't have a lot of the other baggage that spirituality comes with. And,
sure.
And it is, and it's a very, you know, and everybody's path is very personal, and I'm definitely never here to tell somebody what they should do. But if somebody, but I've had many people that have been catalysts in my life that have suggested things to me to do, and I took their suggestions and I went with it, and wow, did it make a positive difference in my life. So that's just kind of where I'm coming at. Certainly not for everybody, but I feel like it is a very quick study.
Right. Well, yeah, I understand. You know, I like the idea of what you're saying. There's no dogma to it. I mean, even if we take the simplest terms of spirituality, like God, I mean, God. I mean, we've bombed the crap out of everybody for God. And, you know, let's chop everybody up if they won't, you know, submit to our own delusional idea of what the hell that is. Well, you know, as we've talked before the show, you've written the ebook Miracle Mindfulness, a guide to A Course in Miracles workbook. You were talking about how some of the principles of A Course in Miracles folds in nicely to the sun-gazing experience. Do you want to talk on that?
Well, I think that I fold in A Course in Miracles book with many things. I'm a big big proponent, obviously a huge fan, because I wrote a book about it. I think that it is the if you read that book from page to, you know, from front to cover, or like from back to cover, whatever, it is the most inspirational, beautiful book that there is to read about spirituality. It is, you know, 1,000+ pages, so it takes some people a long time to get through. When I wrote the book to the A Course in Miracles, a workbook for students, I actually did so from sungazing. I was in the middle of reading the book, and I don't know if anybody in the audience is familiar with A Course in Miracles. It's a very difficult read. You will pick it up if you've never picked up anything about it before, not a primer or anything like that, and say, what the F? Like, this is like Greek to me. Like, this makes no sense. It's very difficult. It's like written in another language, although it's written in English. And I had to read what I would consider a primer to A Course in Miracles before I read A Course in Miracles, which was Gary Renard's Disappearance of the Universe. Anyways, to make a long story short, during this time I was reading the course, it usually takes people a very long time to read the course, I started sungazing. And I went from reading the course and just a couple pages and digesting only 2 pages at a time, to all of a sudden sitting down in one session and reading 40 to 50 pages at a time. So I finished reading the course in 3 months, and then I wrote a book on the course in 4 months. And that's fairly unheard of.
So would you say that the practice of sun gazing helped you assimilate the principles of A Course in Miracles
I wouldn't call it an assimilation necessarily. What I would call it is that all of a sudden I was given the awareness to understand what the book was telling me. The book speaks to you on, it speaks to anybody on many different, like it's like a multi-dimensional book. It will speak to you on many different kinds of dimensions. And when I first started reading the course, when I wasn't sun gazing, like I said, I was only comprehending a couple of pages at a time because it's deep. I mean, it's the deepest thing that you've ever probably, or anybody, I don't know, that I've ever read. I can't speak for anybody else. And once I started sun gazing, all of a sudden I was comprehending way more content at a time, up to 40 to 50 pages at a time. And that's when the book started to come out, because that's when I started to basically I was getting I can only just call it I was just getting downloaded upon information that was telling me how I was going to write this book, and it was very specific to the book itself. It wasn't something that was talking about anything else but the book, and it was just a very like a trans-spiritual experience. And then I wrote the book in a very short period of time, and I worked with the publisher Patrick Miller, who is a pretty well-known Course in Miracles publisher, and then 9 months later, it came to be. I think it can be used as cliff notes for Course in Miracles. I think can be used as a guide to the workbook. It's definitely not for everybody. I think it has a very kind of limited audience, but if somebody's interested in the course or curious about it, I do think that if they picked it up, they could probably get something out of it.
Well, you know, the when we think about our life path, or what, you know, we're going through this human experience, and like you said, it's not for everybody. I think sometimes people they're on their spiritual path and they're like, damn it, just hit me with a bolt of lightning. I want to get to the big E today,
right,
and let's get on with it. And in truth, what that person might need might be right in front of them. It might very probably be what they're bitching and moaning about as far as what their life is like, because that's the lesson that's in front of them. And yet, I'm fascinated by the role that our ego can take in our free will, in that our soul, our oversoul, our ginormous self, can have a vision, an idea of the direction our life can go, what we're doing, how we're fulfilling purpose. And yet the ego can jump in there and throw on the brakes or run away or put its head in the sand. And
absolutely.
And so I'm listening to you tell this story, and it was in these sun gazing episodes that you had downloads, and I think I'm on track here, where that oversoul, that bigger you that's been enjoying the ride of your life is giving you those incremental steps of what you can be doing, and you turn around and you write an ebook about it. I find that the more we fulfill and satisfy that soul's vision, that the sense of satisfaction, the sense of fulfillment in our own personal life goes very deep. Whereas if we stay in our ego and we just, I'm on my path and I'm reading all this stuff and blah, 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 but yet we're not taking these action items to fulfillment, it there's not that depth of genuine satisfaction at the end of the day when you put your head on the pillow
how you feel about how you've shown up in the day. Would you say that makes sense? Or
yeah, I like for me, when I was sun gazing, the residual effects would last for days. It wasn't just something that I was just immediately when I was staring at the sun, all of a sudden I would want to write a book. No, it lasted for days. And I think that you're right. People largely ignore what is right in front of them. If you need help or if you need to look in another direction or having trouble or whatever, like the ego is very quick to value things aside from the spiritual development and involvement of everybody. You know, I think what it really comes down to is that you have to be diligent about what you're valuing in life, because I feel like whatever you value, that's what you see and or what you find important. And usually the ego, the last thing that it's valuing is your spiritual development. I mean, it wants money, it wants a relationship, it wants love, it wants that good job, it wants those fancy purses, it wants that good car. You know, spirituality is literally the last thing on the list.
I didn't get the fancy purse thing. I must have a different spirituality.
Well,
I'm checking them all off. You're rattling them all off. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm with you. Purse, damn.
Except for the fancy purse. Yeah.
All right, well, I'll try to open up my mind even farther. So,
the thing is that I've been programmed, and this is how I think, and this is how I think about life. This is how I think about the situation. I've been programmed for 39 years to see life through the perspective of my person, my body, and the things that my body, if you're in a body, you're going to see through the ego, the things that are important to get through the ego. And I have to, when you're talking about awakening or spirituality or whatever else, you have to start thinking from your spirit. You're not thinking from your body. You're not thinking from your ego. You're having to think from your spirit. But the whole world that we see does not reflect that. The whole world reflects what the ego sees. And so, therefore, there is a lot of deprogramming that has to happen here. And it is sometimes a very uphill battle. And it is something that you have to remind yourself of every single day. Like, I set affirmations on my phone to beep up at me at certain times during the day to kind of bring me back into my spiritual body instead of my ego body. Because let me tell you, I get very carried away in my own ego and still do to this day, even with all the stuff that I feel like I should know by now. But I don't. There's a lot of deprogramming that has to happen. And I think that just trying, just doing like one simple thing a day, whether that's sun gazing, whether that's reading your favorite spiritual text, whether that's reading, whether that's meditating 5 minutes a day, whether that's, doing just one thing, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to dedicate your life to it or anything like that, but just knowing that there's something else there, that's important, because if we don't recognize, it's like feeding your spiritual soul. It needs nourishment, and if we don't take time out to recognize what that nourishment is, whatever it is for anybody, and I realize that it could be something totally different for everybody else than what it is for me or what it's for you. But just taking 5 minutes of your day to just recognizing and honoring that part of yourself, it's just something that's important, and that's what we need to do.
Well, I like what you said about, deprogramming or unraveling. if you will, our sense of self. A lot of times when people get on their spiritual path, they'll make a few clicks, they'll raise their consciousness, and consciousness is so very powerful. They'll raise their consciousness and they'll go, you know, holy cow, this is the promised land, my God, my God. And the ego can, you know, it's almost like the spiritual addiction of the ego, where you see the, you know, the big ass archangel with his wings and he's got a sword and he's going to walk into the darkness and and slay the delusion of it all. And because the ego wants a sense of value and worth and perhaps a sense of the hero archetype, and that's all fine and good, because the story of your soul certainly has you stepping into a sense of personal power, stepping into a sense of owning the truth of who you are. And we're all very powerful beings, kind of waking up from a slumber. But I find that it goes back to that purity, you know, blessed are the pure in heart. It's the cleansing of that old story that...
Yes.
When you get really clean in your persona and scrub your sense of self down to that example that nature gives us of purity, then this big ass vision comes in for your life, and that's when the ego is struck dumb in awe, because the scope of the thinking might not even be the word, the scope of visioning of your soul can be so immense and so powerful that the ego can't comprehend it at first.
Yeah, that's so true. So true. Mm-hmm.
So what are the modalities that you use to fulfill your life purpose? I mean, do you work with people one-on-one? Do you...
Yeah, well, to be honest, I haven't...
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
right.
yeah, always honest. I'm always honest. But I was working with people one-on-one, and I was helping them... I wouldn't call it a life coach situation, but I was working with people on more like a, you know, session, like a couple sessions. I'm intuitive, I'm psychic, I'm the channel, I do all these things. So I was working with clients on a basis like that. For my work, I do something totally different. I'm a managing editor for a women's news and culture website. And that's kind of it. That's kind of where I am right now. I'm always open to new Course in Miracles, you know, teaching their students, or, you know, like wherever I can share in that realm, I will as well. But, you know, all of a sudden it's crazy because, you know, as soon as I published my book, I got thrown into this other job, and, man, life just happens. That's just kind of where I am right now. But I still want to get back to that. I definitely want to get back to my sun gazing. It's been really foggy here for the past couple of weeks, so I haven't been. And I will tell you this: if you don't sun gaze for a while, you lose it. You lose all that stuff. So.
So what do you see if you pull out the crystal ball and you gaze into it, what are some of the next chapters of your life looking like?
Oh, the next chapters of my life personally, I mean, I have no idea. You know, it's really funny to be an intuitive person for other people's lives, not for your own. I mean, that's a for real struggle. Yeah, I honestly I have no idea, and I don't want to know. I just hope that I just want to be open arms and willing to do whatever it takes or whatever needs to happen for my spiritual development, because I feel like that is the most important thing in my life more than anything else in the world.
Sure.
And of course to help people if possible. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
It's the idea that, you know, okay, people are psychic for other people. They might give them readings or whatever. And then, like you were sharing, it's like, well, here's my own life. Well, you know, it almost seems like if you're truly psychic, you'd never lose your car keys. But yet.
That's bullshit. That is such bullshit. That is not true at all.
It's a human factor, isn't it? I mean,
I can only speak for myself, but it's my understanding, and it's been my experience, that I can have the most clearest conception of somebody else's stuff and what I'm telling them and the advice I'm giving them. But when it comes down to me personally, it is mud. It is full of mud. No way. It's just that's your own way. No. Yeah.
Well, that's part of the journey, though, isn't it? I mean, I find it curious how so completely we forget our memory of the truth of us is wiped from us, and we really don this physical body identity of quote who we are unquote, and it's so encompassing how we have forgotten that we're this ginormous soul I always suggest we're here for the human experience. No divine being has come down from the sky and stopped the cannons during the war, stopped the famine, because it's going to get resolved through people like you and me, human beings, not their soul. Their soul will feed them the ideas. Their soul will feed them the inspiration. But it's not until the human element of those people can embody the vision that it comes into fruition.
Yeah, and that's I'm glad that you brought that up, because that is that's true, because we still have to always consider the fact that we are human beings in form, and that is the context in which we are sharing our information, and we have to be accessible to as many people as possible. And thank you for that, and thank you for having this radio show that we could actually talk about sort of things, and hopefully maybe somebody will listen.
It's a good thing. It's
a good thing.
When you respond to the inspiration and you show up for it, you feel fulfilled. And it's like, I talk to people during the day, and we might talk about events in the media and what's going on in the world. And it's like, oh my, despair, gloom, doom, all this crap. And when you do something about it, in the sense of write a book, of putting out your hand for it to help another, for, you know, that space of compassion from our hearts to other people in this human condition. I mean, that is the elixir to not being swallowed up by this, the story of our collective karma.
I agree.
So when you consider sun gazing, I know everybody has their own relationship to any topic or story, but What are some of the things that, as far as an individual that's listening, what are some of the benefits or the effects? I mean, how would you kind of highlight those or summarize?
Sure. I would. Okay. So to make a cheat sheet, I would say within the first, 5 seconds or 10 seconds to, 5 minutes, you will immediately start to notice that your memory has improved a lot. From 5 minutes to 12 minutes, you will start to notice that your connection with spirit has increased, as in you're thinking about more spiritual things, you're connecting with other realms, you're engaging in a different way with your spirituality than you would be. And then I would say when you reach up to 15 minutes to 30 minutes, that's when you're getting information downloaded upon. I don't know another way to put it, but you're communicating with other levels, and you're seeing things in a very different way, and that is the benefit. I have not reached the HRM, haven't eaten 45-minute level before. I haven't gotten there. And I don't know if I'm ready to get there. I don't know if I want to even do that. But
because you'd have to give up chocolate?
No. You know what's so funny? I don't even like chocolate. So.
Well, but since we've been talking about intervals, time intervals, about looking at the sun, it's important to reiterate that this is an incremental thing. You don't just go outside and start it.
This is something that will take possibly a year. Like, this is nothing that you're going to go outside and do this, and then you're going to start to do all these different things. No, this takes dedication. I dedicated a couple of years of my life to do this. The effects were amazing.
You start with 10 seconds. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
You build on 10 seconds every day. We've talked about a big scale, but if you haven't done it before, we need to get clear about the fundamental aspect of it. It's within 45 minutes of sunrise or sunset. It's not in the middle of the day.
Correct. You have to use it during the safe time. The actual safe time is an hour, but just to be super safe, I always say 45 minutes, but that's just my own thing. And you can't do it with contacts. You cannot do it with glasses. You can't do it through seeing out a windshield or a glass or a window.
Right. When people listen to the show, if they zoom ahead and they just listen to the, go do it for 15 minutes, I mean, it's good to keep context in it, especially when you're talking about, it's a very powerful practice, and the sun is a pretty amazing thing, too. Well, an hour can go by pretty fast, and here we are coming.
I know, I was just going to say, it's an hour.
Can you take a moment and tell people about what your ebook, what services you may offer,
and how they can
get a hold of you?
Okay, so yes, I have an ebook out. It is designed for anybody that's interested in A Course in Miracles. The book is called Miracle of Mindfulness, a guidebook to A Course in Miracles bookwork for students. It is available on Amazon and also Smashwords. Smashwords is for if you don't have a Kindle and you just want a PDF or something like that. I also have a blog, hollyelizabethfox.com, that talks more about the scientific relation with spirituality, which I also love to talk about. We haven't even talked about that yet this time. And then also, last but not least, you can find me at my work. I'm working for ravishly.com as a managing editor. We're doing some good work on there, body positive stuff, and that's it.
Well, how delightful. Holly, it's really been fun and really informative to talk to you tonight. I've really enjoyed our dialogue.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it too. I've had a really great time. I was super worried because I would have been like feverishly sick for the past couple of days. So I'm glad it turned out okay.
It turned out just fine. Thanks for being on the show.
All right. Thanks so much, Jess.
Holly Fox, the author of Miracle Mindfulness, A Guide to a Course in Miracles Workbook. You know, when we talk about showing up for ourselves and being mindful of who we are and our reason, our purpose for our own individual life, and then we actually take action. You know, on the show we were talking about the human experience. Our soul might know all the answers, but we're not here for the soul. We're here for the human. That's you. That's me. We're here as human beings. And when we look at the condition of our society, of the collective consciousness, and the remnants of the shadow that we're still wearing as we come out of this history that we've had, when you honor authentically your life purpose, your own path, that is the thing itself. You know, sometimes when people are on their spiritual journey, they'll have an incremental shift in consciousness. And they might be drawn to the appeal of other people who are writing books or speaking in public or something like that. And they want to share from their heart the value of what they've learned. But I suggest there's this element of ourself, our authentic self. And what I'm getting at here is your life path, how it actually looks, is really up to your ego. And there's a value to honoring your own personal preference. And sometimes we take on the idea of our life path as a burden to be carried. Well, you know, I have to see everybody on a personal basis, and we might paint it as a sense of drudgery or a sense of, well, you know, I don't have a choice in this. But in order to be authentic, your ego gets to choose the how, in the sense of what it actually looks like. If you don't like speaking in public, you can speak into a microphone in your own studio and never see the public. So I guess the bottom line of what I'm saying is stay true, stay honest to what you prefer, what you genuinely prefer. Don't compromise yourself in the sense of spiritual duty or like it's some kind of a requirement. Hey, you know, you showed up for the show tonight and you've listened to it. That's powerful right there. We're all here to discover our own personal power. You know, it's been a delight having you on the show tonight. Thanks for joining us. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living Radio broadcast to bring your soul's inspiration into effect and live your life wide open. Check out our host, Les Jensen's latest book, Citizen King: The New Age of Power, at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.